Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are reminded of a stark reality that often goes unnoticed and disbelieved in our times. Demons. They are real and they are a threat. I cannot prove this fact to you because demons, they're only spirits. They don't have bodies, so there isn't any proof to proffer. But even though they're invisible to our eyes, they do have the power to possess things and to use them. Jesus, in our gospel today, confronts a man who is possessed by one of these soldiers of Satan. And so he drives it out, making the mute man able to speak again. This man had been robbed of his senses by the demon. He had lost any ability to communicate, to emote, to express anything. He was bound and gagged by the power of Satan, a man in a hostage situation who was about to become a casualty. But our Lord Jesus has power over demons and power over this man. And so he reclaimed what belonged to him. So too are we like this man from the day of our birth, unable to form words or confess his name, completely under the possession of the devil. This is why we have been given the rite of holy baptism, for in it Jesus exorcises the old demon, that we may receive the new spirit, that we may receive his word and confess him with our lips. And yet, those who were looking on at this scene couldn't see any demon. They had no appreciation for what just happened. They saw only the man convulsing and then speaking afterwards. They thought to themselves, this could very well have been staged. These two could be in cahoots together so that it only looked like Jesus had power over that demon. In their limitless skepticism, in their impeccable ability to doubt against all odds, these Jews cried out, "Aha! You are casting out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." Now, where did they get that idea? Beelzebul, or as it is more commonly rendered, Beelzebub, was a Philistine deity, an ancient pagan god. You may be more familiar with the Old Testament title for him, Baal. Rendered literally, his name is actually Baal-zebub, with Zebub separated by a hyphen. This is because the word Baal was the ancient Semitic word for Lord or Master. Much like we use the term Lord for God in English. Zebub means roughly things that fly, or more simply rendered as just flies. Thus, Beelzebub was known as the Lord of the flies. The people of the ancient Middle East would call on him for deliverance when they were afflicted with swarms of flies or gnats or locusts, as these things could mean life or death for them. It could mean starvation. And because Beelzebub was thought to be directly responsible for what those things that fly did, they would try and appease him to make those afflictions stop, often with sacrifices, perhaps sometimes of people. But this Lord of the flies was proven to be actually the Lord of nothing at all. when the Lord sent Moses to Pharaoh to demand the release of his people, and Pharaoh refused. He sent 10 plagues on Egypt to prove to them that the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob was the one who had real power over the things that fly and everything else. At the Lord's decree, gnats swarmed Egypt, and the magicians called on their Beelzebub, but they were unable to replicate this miracle and unable to get rid of this plague. Thus, they rightly recognized and admitted, this is the finger of God. The Lord further sent flies and locusts. He even turned the Nile to blood so that no one with any sense could still possibly call on Beelzebub for deliverance, but must recognize the power of this finger of God, which is none other than the God's word spoken through Moses, his righteous decree. And yet we still hear that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. And so all of the minions of Pharaoh had to be drowned in the Red Sea. And the chosen ones of Israel would be ritually washed in the crossing of these same waters by Moses, and yet would pass through them dry and unharmed, in order that they could then go out and worship the true God. And yet, ironically, it is in the name of their God, Beelzebub, and their ancestor in the faith, Pharaoh, that these wicked Jews invoke Jesus to be in league with the prince of demons. Like Pharaoh of old, these folks did not speak with any sense, but they continued to doubt and only resisted Jesus out of hatred. The Lord knew this, and so he says, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. If it is as they say, then what Jesus is doing would be completely absurd. Because in the name of Beelzebub, he would only be making Beelzebub weaker by banishing his own demons. There would have to be a proper civil war going on down in Hades for that to happen. But if that isn't the case, then it must be like those magicians once confessed. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. This is no civil war, says Jesus. This is an invasion, and I am the general. The legions of demons flee before me, for I am the word of God. I and the Father are one, and I am his word made flesh. Come before you as his finger, to reclaim that which was lost, and to make clean that which was once defiled. But these hard-hearted Jews would not hear him. They had stopped up their ears and had become as mute as that demoniac just was. They had instead decided to confide in their strong man, Beelzebub. They had all his laws and ceremonies for armor, and they had his spells and incantations for weapons. Yet Jesus came into the world to strip these demons apart piece by piece, to disarm them, to bind them so that they would be completely devoid of any power. By his word, the word of God become flesh. The Lord has cut them off at the head. this Beelzebub is sent packing, and Satan's skull is crushed. But it would not appear this way to the Jews, or even to the Romans, or anyone who looked on. For what did Jesus' victory look like? Well, to the world, it sure looked like defeat. The Word of God had come in the flesh, only to be hung on a cross until dead. The Jews hurled their darts at him and wagged their tongues. The Romans mocked him and beat him. And they all begged from him a proof. If you are the Word of God, come down from the cross. All heretics throughout the centuries beg him this exact question. Yet it is in this moment of greatest weakness, in this moment of defeat, that his victory is won. It is in this moment that the king delivers his people and reveals himself as the stronger man. For he remained silent and kept his peace, waiting for the perfect moment to strike. But now from this cross, he makes the final thrust through Beelzebub's heart, and he lands the last blow on Satan's head. Through this word, through Jesus, all the world is reclaimed. It is exorcised of every last one of its demons. This is why our pastors perform exorcisms at baptism. Depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit. That is, depart, Beelzebub. This is no longer your home. This place is now reserved for the Word of God. And not just Beelzebub, but even all of the gods which our ancestors once worshipped, they too are exorcised and have no power over us at all. In fact, the people of old usually deeply feared their gods. They paid them tribute not because they had any love for them, but rather because they were afflicted by them. We know especially from the Greek religion that the gods would do what they pleased, coming down from Olympus not to have mercy on anyone, not out of unconditional love, but they would come to make their champions fight and die for sport. They would rape maidens whenever it pleased them, and they lorded over the people in utter tyranny. But by the finger of God, by his word made flesh, and the holy lance of his cross, the true sacrifice is rendered. Baal's wings are clipped, and he must now crawl on his belly, and Elijah slaughters his prophets in the brook of Kishon. Zeus finally is shackled for his crimes. Hades is turned inside out and emptied of all his spoils. And Odin is crucified by the greater cross of Christ. My brothers, my sisters, there is no more fear of the dark, of demons, of gods, of any superstition. For it all fades away like a bad dream before the cross of Jesus. By your baptism into Jesus, into the Word of God made flesh, his finger stirs the waters and joins himself to them. And by him, your eyes are reopened, your ears are unstopped, your tongue is loosed, and he dons his armor upon you and brings you across the sea to the new shores of his kingdom, to be his knight, and to dwell with him forever. For with the cross, his dominion extends from heaven to earth, from sea to shining sea. And it is all so because of this simple water joined to the word. So wear this whole armor of God given to you in your baptism. You're going to need it. You must fight on while on these shores, for the demons are in their final death throes. They are desperate, lunging and clawing at any chance to get at you. But remember, the stronger man has clothed you in perfect steel. He has refined a sword for you in the fires of his death on the cross. He arms you with his very self, with the word of God, and by his cross, you will conquer all. So do not return to the old house. Brothers and sisters, do not neglect God's gifts and his precious aid. Do not put your house in order just to invite Beelzebub back in, but order all things by the word of God, and order your life around coming with your brethren to hear it with your ears and to receive it on your mouths. For if you trust in God's word, if you cling to Jesus in the face of all doubt and fear, if you come to him where he is found, you will not be let down. He has promised it, and his decree is always effective. Yes, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He has delivered you, and in due time his kingdom will come again beyond all doubt, and you will see with your own eyes that new day. Take heart, my friends, in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.